Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
We're going to continue this series on David. Pastor Steve started last week. And by the way, this series was sparked by a book that Pastor Steve read called David the Great. I just finished it this last week. Written by Mark Rutland, and we ordered a bunch of these books. You can get it at the Next Steps desk. If you're watching online, you can order it online. I love that book. I learned a lot about David. It's easy to read, and I say that because if it's easy to read for me, trust me, it's easy to read for you. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. If you're taking notes today as we continue this series on David, if you'd like a little subtitle, you can write this down, The Space Between. The Space Between. We're going to read some Bible, and then we're going to get started. 1 Samuel 30, we're going to read a verse where David, we're going to read some verses just to give some quick context. David has just experienced maybe the most painful disappointment in his life. And we're going to look at that later, what that disappointment is. But this verse that I'm about to read to you, we don't find King David the Great, but we find David the tired, David the exhausted, and David the backslidden. It says this, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Another translation says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Then David said to the priest, bring me the ephod. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? God says, pursue them. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. God says you will get back everything the enemy took from you and more. Psalm 41, verse 3, David the psalmist writes this, I waited patiently for the Lord. I don't like the word patiently. Can I get an amen? I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. Anybody thankful for a God that found you in your slimy pit and lifted you out? Come on, somebody. Anybody thankful? Set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Can we pray? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, help me to preach this message again. God, I pray that help me to get out of the way. Holy Spirit, that you would do what you have assigned for me to do, that you would do what you need to do, that we would have hearts that are open to conviction, hearts that are open to change, minds that are open to be transformed and renewed. Holy Spirit, I need your grace, your authority, your anointing. Without it, I'm nothing. God, I believe you put this word in my heart for us today, for somebody today. And God, we come before you as your church, and we just pray that football season will take place. And everybody said. Everybody said. Church, I realized something about myself this last week, and didn't really realize it the first time. I was just reminded of an issue that I have. It's an anger issue, specifically when I have to wait for something. Anybody impatient like me? Oh, you're all perfect. That's cool. And But like, it's not really an anger issue unless when I wait in traffic. Do I have any friends? Like, there's just something about being stuck in traffic. This dark side of me comes out, and I try to justify it as righteous anger. I really do, but I know it's not. It's sinful. The closest that I've ever been to backsliding is in the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. Do I have any friends in the building? In fact, if I ever do backslide and you can't find me, look there first, because that's where I will be. I don't like waiting. I don't enjoy waiting. I have never met anybody that enjoys waiting. I never have. And we live in a world that caters to this. If you go to Disney World, you can download a Disney app. And now when you go to Disney and you walk into the park, on their app, it shows live waiting times for each ride. Because Disney knows we hate waiting so much, we will avoid it if we can. And when I was at Disney, I didn't see anybody going through the app looking for the longest wait time. We're looking for the shortest wait time. It's 15 minutes. No, it's too quick. 35 minutes. No, it's not a good wait. 3 hours. What ride? The spinning teacups? Let's go wait. Spin ourselves to death. anybody that enjoyed waiting. Let's go wait 3 hours in a zigzag line, and right when we think we're getting close to the ride, we still have another hour. I don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. And while we don't like to wait, in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, in this Jesus lifestyle, oftentimes waiting is necessary. In fact, sometimes God uses waiting as a tool. And of all the amazing things that we can learn from King David, and there are many, I think there is one thing in particular that we're gonna look at today. It is how David waited. Specifically, how David handled the space between being announced as king and the fulfillment of being crowned as king. Have you ever been there in the space between? You ever found yourself in the space between of maybe what God spoke over your life and still hasn't happened yet? You're just in between. Found yourself in between of maybe a dream that God has that you believe you had for your life. Space between of praying for the healing, but yet to see the fulfillment of it taking place. You ever been there, church? Maybe you're not where you started, but it seems like lately you're further away than you've ever been. And if we're not careful, the longer that we have to wait and the longer that we are stuck in the space between and the longer that it takes, the more appealing settling for less looks. Have you ever settled for less because something took too long? I did last week. We're gonna go to lunch. Pastor Luke Llewellyn's birthday week. We're talking about where we're gonna go lunch on Luke's birthday. And weeks prior, David Dworsky, our worship pastor, anybody love David Dworsky? Anybody love that new song? Took me to a restaurant called Big Sam's. And forgive me, I'm gonna talk about food again. Can I get an amen? And I experienced, Big Sam's has double grilled wings. If you wanna tantalize your taste buds, go to lunch today to Big Sam's. Order you some double grilled wings with the sauce on the side and ranch. Can I get an amen? And so, and I experienced these wings. I've never experienced wings like this. And so we're talking about where we're gonna go to lunch. I said, Luke, have you been to Big Sam's? No. Get ready. We're gonna go to Big Sam's. And I don't exaggerate often, but I did today. You're gonna have the best wings of your life. And I know that it's, you know, lunchtime and COVID and restaurants have to have limited capacity, all the rest of it. It doesn't matter how long the wait is. We're gonna wait because these are the best wings. Took like 6 or 7 of us guys on staff. We showed up to Big Sam's. Excuse me, how long is the wait? About 45 to 50 minutes. Huh. I began to settle. Is anybody up for sushi? And we missed out on wings that day. We didn't go to Big Sam's. We weren't willing. I wasn't willing to wait. It's amazing how waiting makes settling much more appealing. And it's in the space between. It's in the space between that the enemy is at work. Catch this, church. For everything that God has said about you, for every good thing that God has for you, for every promise that is in his word, for every principle that Jesus gives us in his word for us to live life to the full, the enemy, the devil, always has a cheaper option available for anybody who is willing to settle. Can I get an amen? Before we dive into this, I wanna make sure that we understand. I wanna make sure we understand who King David really is, that we have a full grasp of who David is. I love David's life because it's real, it's relatable, it's controversial. And depending on maybe what you learned in Sunday school, depending on what chapter you read about David, your perspective of who he is could be drastically different. You can read a chapter about King David about a time in his life where he was running from King Saul. And he was in the wilderness, and somehow this leader, David, built an army of 600 men that we know become the most elite warriors of their time. How is it that David built this army that not only evaded King Saul's army and outfought them, but put fear into the army of King Saul of thousands? How is it that David did this? One of the ways he did this, and I love this about David, is David's army represented every tribe. His army crossed every tribal line, and they fought together in fierce unity. David gives us a beautiful picture of what the church should and could be. That every tribe and every tongue shall declare the name of Jesus. So we are not fighting against each other, but we are fighting together for the name of Jesus. Can I get amen? You could read that chapter and think, man, David, what a leader. You could read another chapter about King David. And as courageous as he was in leading a nation and an army, it's almost as if David had no courage when it came to leading his family. It's almost as if he chose not to. So much so that one of his sons sparked civil war against his dad in his own nation. You could read that chapter and think, King David's not all that great of a king. Say, Josh, how is this relatable? Well, I know it's relatable to my life because if my life were a book and you got lucky and found a chapter and read it, you could think to yourself, oh, okay, I could see how God could be using Josh. But I know that there's many other chapters that if you were to read in my life, you would think to yourself, how is God using him? What I'm trying to get to, church, is in this day and age, in the cancel culture in which we live, David would have been canceled. David's life and leadership messes with some of our cookie cutter limited legalistic theology because God didn't cancel David. And as far away from God some of David's mistakes seemed, he never let go of God. Y'all still with me? He always came back to repent. It didn't mean he and those around him didn't have to deal with the consequences of his sin. That's unavoidable. But he was humble enough to fall before God every time and repent. David is an Old Testament figure that has a better understanding of the New Testament gospel than some of us today. Church, how easy it is to look back at the life of David and write him off. I mean, think about one of David's most famous mistakes, and you could think to yourself, how could God use this man? How does the Bible say that he has a heart that is after God? I mean, this David one of his most famous mistakes is he's at home in his palace. He should be at war. He should be at battle. The Bible says it's a time when kings should be at war. But David's at home and he sees Bathsheba. Bathsheba is the wife of one of his great friends, one of his great warriors who is in the battle that David should be at. And David commits adultery and sleeps with Bathsheba, this woman, and gets her pregnant. Tries to cover it up, brings Uriah back, this great friend, this great warrior, thinking that Uriah will sleep with his wife, but Uriah refuses to do so. He's a man of integrity and character, says, I will not sleep with my wife while my fellow soldiers are in battle. That's where I should be. David sends Uriah back into battle to be killed, to be murdered. How is it that this man, the Bible could say, he's a man after God's own heart? Because the same David, when they were recording his life, church, don't forget, the same David, when they were recording his life, and he made sure that nothing was left out. He made sure that his greatest mistakes, including this mistake with Bathsheba, was included. I can see David on his deathbed. I mean, the humility, church. As the scribes are talking to David, say, hey, we're writing this, the story of your life, and this is for the world to read. This is for you and I to read today, thousands of years later. So David, are you sure you want to include everything? David makes sure nothing is left out. His greatest victories and his greatest mistakes. I can see David on his deathbed as he says, I want to make sure I honor my greatest warriors. I want you to name all of my greatest warriors, and they already know who they are, and then they name all of them except for one. And David asks for the piece of paper and looks down at the names and says, there's one missing. I can imagine the scribes talking to David, are you sure? You want to include Uriah? I mean, we know he was a great warrior and a great friend, but remember you slept with his wife and then you had him murdered. David says, oh friends, that needs to be included. This church gives us a glimpse, I would suggest, to how the Bible could say David was a man after God's own heart. I mean, imagine a movie producer, this is weird to think about, you're on your deathbed, comes into your hospital room, says, we're gonna make a movie about your life. And we're gonna show how great you are. And we can include anything you want and we can exclude anything you want. Church, I don't know if I'm including every one of my mistakes. I don't know in seventh grade when I was accused of cheating on a Bible project if I'm gonna include that in my movie. Church, this is where I think we get a glimpse of how the Bible could say that David was a man after God's own heart because he made sure his failures were highlighted, which highlighted the grace of God. He made sure God got the glory, and his zeal of repentance kept him. Grace saved him. God saw the heart of David as a young man, seeds of greatness that nobody else saw, and God chose to continue to see it. Church, I guess what I'm trying to say is that David was a great king. He was a great king with devastating mistakes, and what a passionate zeal to repent. And God still chose to use him. And God still chooses you. Can I get an amen? Come on, if you believe it, give God a hand. And while David was anointed king as a young teenager, we know that he wasn't crowned king overnight. In fact, this space between David being announced king and the fulfilling of it happening was filled with pain, disappointment, waiting, backsliding, temptation to settle for less. And maybe the most pivotal moment in the space between for David is a place called Ziklag. See, it's in Ziklag we find David, this great King David, essentially backslidden. He's been in the space between waiting so long that we find a wayward David. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 27, just before this, this is what sparked him even making the decision to settle in Ziklag. The Bible says that David began to settle in his heart that maybe this thing God called me to do and be, maybe it isn't for me. Maybe Saul really is gonna kill me. Have you ever been there before? Maybe you haven't verbally said it, but on the inside you begin to give up. You begin to settle in your heart. Maybe that dream, the calling that you believe God had for you, maybe it's not for me. It's here we find David, who's tired of running, he's lost his strength, he's exhausted because he's been running without God. And to make this even worse, David is about to step into the greatest disappointment of his life. Verse 3, we're going to read the verses that led up to the verses that we read earlier today. When David and his men reached Ziklag, coming back from battle, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Can you try to imagine this for a moment? You are at battle and you come home to find your home up in flames, destroyed, and they took your family. This is what David and his men walk into. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Man, have you ever been there where you weep so much that you don't have the strength to weep about the pain that you're feeling? David's own family was taken. David, verse 6, is greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and his daughters. David returns to Ziklag to find devastation. David has officially lost everything. The only thing he had left was his own men, his own army, and now they have turned on him. They want to kill David. And this is where I want to focus on today. It's what David does next that I believe is for somebody today. It's what David does next. Maybe you find yourself in a place where you are wayward and you're lost and you're hurting. Maybe you begin to settle in your heart and give up on that dream or give up on that son or that daughter or that business or that calling that you believe God has for you. Look at what David does. David does two things. The second thing he does is powerful, it's redemptive, it's important. But I don't think it's what the Holy Spirit asked me to focus on today, and I want to preach in under an hour. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? What does David do first? What does David do first? The Bible says he strengthens himself in the Lord. David encourages himself in the Lord. A broken, hurting, wayward, lost David reminds himself where his strength comes from. I can see David standing before the Lord, having this conversation, encouraging himself with God, saying, God, I know it's been a while. I know I've been wayward. I know I'm backslidden. God, this is a little awkward for me because it's been a long time. But God, I thank you for your goodness for meeting me in my despair. You didn't bring me this far just to rule Ziklag. God, if you said it, it will come to pass. David begins to encourage himself again. You didn't anoint me to be just the king of a town or an army. You anointed me to be the king of the nation of Israel. And I know I settled in my heart. I know I began to give up just chapters ago. And while zigzag is my fault and it's a part of my journey, I thank you, God, I believe it's not my final destination and you can still use it for good. David begins to encourage himself in the Lord. God, I will not settle. Lord, lead me again. I don't care if it's still not time to be king yet. I refuse to settle in the meantime. David begins to remind himself of the greatness that God saw in him as a young man. The love that God has for him. The mercy that God offers his strength to a wayward son. David was awakened to the greatness that God still saw in him. And church, I believe one of my assignments from heaven today is to remind somebody that not only does God still see you, but he still sees his greatness that he put in you. And maybe you find yourself in God's house today. Maybe you find yourself and you're hurting. You're broken. Your life feels like it's failure after failure, disappointment. You cannot believe that you find yourself where you are today. Friend, God sees you and he sees greatness in you. Wake up again to the call of God that is on your life. Maybe you're here and your life looks awesome. On the outside, it's success and people all around you think that you know you're great. But on the inside, you're hurting, you're broken, you're insecure. You are empty and you feel insignificant. Friend, God sees you. And he sees his greatness in you. Be awakened again to the greatness that God has put in you. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's almost as if, this is the practical part of my message, in case you're wondering. It's almost as if David left Ziklag with a new song. It's almost as if David left Ziklag with a new song. Psalm 40 says this. This is David the psalmist writing, I waited patiently for the Lord. If David was going to wait for anything now, it was going to be for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. A hymn of praise to our God. I believe this is for somebody today. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Friend, I don't know who you are, but I believe it's time to start singing a new song. I believe God has a new song for you. One of the greatest lessons I've learned as a dad is that I don't get to listen to my music anymore. I discovered this pretty quickly, and as soon as Liv had watched Frozen, there was only one song that we could listen to when we got in the car. She says, Dad, can you play the Elsa Ice song? I said, sure, sweetie. At first it was cute. It was fun. It was a father-daughter thing that we did. The song is not called the Ice song. It has nothing to do with ice. At first it was cute. And after listening to it 4,000 times, the lack of context drives me nuts. Dad, the ice song. Are you sure you don't want to listen to any other song on the Frozen album? There are so many other songs. And Dad, don't you dare change the song. Maybe you've seen me driving around town with tears in my eyes. You're thinking, man, that's amazing. Josh having a moment with God, worshiping in his car. No, friend, I am hurting. You ever been so frustrated with your kids? You don't even say their name. Just child, small being, Elsa. To live, any other song, there's so many more songs. Live, Taylor Swift has a new album, there's a song with Bon Iver, please. There's so many more songs, I'm tired of the same song, and I don't know who this is for today, church, but I want to suggest to you that maybe God is tired of your song. And that same God has a new song for you, and maybe you've been stuck in the place between for so long that you even stopped singing. Friend, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord again? And don't you leave that place until he puts a new song in your heart again. This next season requires a new song. What does David teach us? To do the one thing that we can always do. Praise your King. Come on, somebody. It's time to sing a new song. Some of us have been singing the same song for years. Remind yourself what God has done for you, that you woke up today. Some of us have been singing songs from the first Frozen movie, and God is trying to desperately make you aware there's another movie, Frozen 2. Church, it's time for a new song. Praise him like he is the God and the Savior that he is. Praise him like he saved you like he did. Praise him like he forgave you like he did. Praise him in the waiting for sustaining you. Praise him that even though you continue to reject him, when you finally come home, he is always, always, always there. Praise him with a new song. Praise him. I believe it is time for a new song. The world needs a church with a new song. Why would the world want anything to do with Jesus if our song sounds just like theirs? There are times, church, there are moments and there are even seasons of zigzag. But can I encourage you today, do not settle. Church, do not settle. Remind yourself of who God is and what he said in and over your life. Remind yourself, encourage yourself of the greatness, the call of God that he put on your life. Oh, church, start singing a new song and get your eyes off the problem, get your eyes off of the destination and put your eyes back on your King. That's why I love the verse, don't grow tired, don't grow weary in doing good, for at the right time, he will bring the harvest. Church, I've discovered something in my 29 years of living is that God's timing is often inconvenient, sometimes annoying, frustrating. God's timing can be painful. God's timing can be character growing. God's timing can be capacity stretching, but God's timing is always perfect and it's always worth it. And I believe for somebody today, the Holy Spirit wants to remind you that you can stop rushing in your own strength and you can start waiting on his. Holy Spirit has been challenging me on this. How many Christians I meet and our souls are anxious and they're rushed. Holy Spirit says to you and I today, church, you don't have to rush in your own strength. Friend, wait on the Lord. We know the story. David inquires of the Lord and asks God, do I go get back my family? He says, yes, you're going to win. And I'm all about going to battle. We need to fight for what God has called us to do. But before David could go, he needed to get his strength back from his Savior, not his own. Friends, stop rushing in your strength and simply wait on the Lord. Can I get an amen? I believe the Holy Spirit's in this place. And I believe even in this moment, you can feel welling up inside of you a new song. God is aware of the pain, the hurt, the sickness. But you want to hear that song anymore. It says, friend, I got a new song of healing, of my peace. I believe some of us today, we're gonna leave with a new song. Friend, this new season, it requires a new song. Can I get an amen? You receive the word? Come on, give God a hand. Church, I'm gonna ask us to be more engaged in this moment than the entire service. If you're watching online, stay with us. I need to ask you the most important question anyone ever could. It's a question that reminds me of why we were created as human beings. Friend, do you know this Jesus that I speak of? Do you know what it is to repent? It's what I love about David. Every time he messed up, sometimes it took longer than others, but he found himself falling again to the feet of his Savior. Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I messed up. Would you forgive me? And the good news is, friend, we serve of God. Went to the cross, died for you, rose from the grave, so that no matter what you come to him with, he's forgiven. Have you experienced salvation? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you picked up a lifestyle of following Jesus? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're a Christian in this place, I'm gonna ask you to pray, church, with passion. Come on, let's begin to pray. If you're watching online, you're a Christian, come on, pray. Somebody online has already made a decision. You can continue to click that button. And in just a moment, I'm gonna ask anybody and everybody in this service today, I'm gonna count to three, and when I do, and you say, Josh, that's me, I need to give my life to Jesus. When I get to three, I'm gonna ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. If you're watching online, you can continue to click that button. But if that's you today, say, Josh, that's me. Friend, no matter how old or how young we are, how good or bad, we are all in need of a Savior. Friend, don't leave this place today without knowing your eternity is in heaven. Discovering again the greatness that God has put inside of you. One, if that's you, say, Josh, that's me. I'm done living this life on my own. I need to surrender everything to Jesus. Two, if you're in this place today, and if you're being honest, you find yourself in zigzag like David did. Friend, come home again. David reminds us that each and every single time that we stray from our Father, when we come home, he's already there waiting with his arms wide open. Three, if that's you in this place, lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. There's a hand right there. Another hand right there. Anybody else? Once I've seen it, you can put it down. Another hand right there. Anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. If you're watching online, you can click the button. Give me a wave if I can't see it. Another hand back there. Awesome. Anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to surrender everything again. Anybody else? I'm gonna wait just a moment longer. Another hand right there. Awesome, I see your hand. Amazing. Anybody else? Holy Spirit's moving in this place. We're gonna continue to pray for just a moment. I get the sense the Holy Spirit's putting in my heart that maybe you're here and you've been in zigzag and you're unsure if God would use you again. Friend, he will. It's the beauty of this gospel. Anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. Amen. I see you right there. Amen, amen. Church, we lift our eyes together. Can we give the loudest shout of praise? Come on, church. Can we give the loudest shout of praise we've given all day, all morning? We're gonna say a prayer together. On the screen, you'll see a number that you can text. In a moment, I'm gonna ask you to text that number. It's gonna stay up there. Pastor Luke, in just a moment, he's gonna come up here. That number will stay on the screen so you can see it. To text us, to let us know you made that decision as a church. We'll come alongside you, let you know what your next step is. But we're gonna say this prayer together, and we're saying it here in person and online at home. Three people online at home made that decision. It's amazing. Why don't we, yeah, come on, let's celebrate. Can we say, let's say this prayer together. Church, let's say it with passion. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Forgiving me of my sins. Raising from the dead. Giving me a hope in the future. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian. I'm gonna live for you. Everybody said, amen. One more time, God is. One more time, church, as Pastor Luke comes. Come on, can we really celebrate every single person?
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.